Hey, welcome to the Rookies Podcast. We are three, sometimes two, maybe just one at occasion, rookie pastors that talk about life, ministry, and all that we know. And as we say often, if you stick around long enough, not a whole lot of it. But we are back after an unintentional break where we had plans to meet and to record more episodes following Dr. Ramage's interview. But then life, kids, ministry, and other things happened. So none of our schedules aligned. So Daniel and I are here today to record a Christmas episode where we talk about what do we do for Christmas at our church? What have we done in the past? Colin was supposed to join us, but he is too good for us now. And my hope is that he jumps on this episode as we're recording so we can relentlessly pick on him. But we will see. Daniel, how are things going at your church?
It's good. You know, I think the running joke is like, it's Christmas time, so we're busy, all that kind of stuff. I'm really fortunate where I'm not that busy. It's the normal busyness.
You're just not doing it right, Ben.
I mean, apparently. I mean, that's the theme for a long time, right? If you're not busy, you're not doing it right. But I mean, yeah, it's just the normal ministry stuff. And maybe that's because we're trying to be more intentional. Like personally with my family, we're trying to be more intentional, like what we're doing all the time and not just doing things just to do things. And I think that's kind of overflowing the church as well, that we're not trying to fill up the calendar with things. We're not trying to do Christmas parties and all that kind of stuff. That's fun. Like, I love doing that kind of stuff. But it can also be really stressful. Like, I love Christmas time. I love, like, just the season of it. I love just the themes, all that kind of stuff. And I feel like last year, I got so caught up in the hype of it that I really missed the celebration, I guess, just being with family. The focus on the incarnation. And so this year I really tried to step back from that of like just the hype and all the excitement and just do, I don't know, just life, but be more focused on it. If that makes any kind of sense.
No, it does.
But overall, it's great.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense. I just, this is busy and you know this because it's not just Christmas season, it's end of the year season, which means budgets, committees, who's on what, nominations. It's all happening this month. So it's just a lot. And if you're a pastor listening to this, you know, December is, in my estimation, if we're going to compare like, or talk about what's the busiest seasons, I would say the lead up to Easter is the only other part of the year that rivals the busyness of Christmas season, maybe summer, but summer, you got a lot of stuff going on, youth, kids. So you as a senior pastor may not have, hey, Colin just jumped on, and I said at the beginning of this episode, as we're recording, that we're going to relentlessly pick on him for being late.
We are live, Colin.
So yeah, well, after changing the time?
Well, we changed the time to 4 or 3 o'clock your time, and it is currently 4:10 Eastern, 3:10 Central. Mm-hmm. So what's the rule,
Daniel?
You have
a master's. You have a master's. We waited 5 minutes for you, and you are here, so we started.
I have a job that involves other people setting times.
That's fair. I forget.
We're the senior pastor that doesn't do anything during the week.
That's right. We only work Sundays. I forgot.
We only work
on
Sundays, guys.
Colin, since you're late, let me fill you what we're talking about. We're talking about Christmas season, how busy it is. And I was saying that I think in terms of busyness, only the lead up to Easter and Easter Sunday rivals the busyness of end of the year, December ministry. What do you think? Since you're not a pastor anymore, you have insight on this.
Yeah, it is. It is like, it's like a second Easter in a lot of ways. And actually, I think it lasts longer because it's really a month. So even though Easter's crazy, it's like everything condensed into 1 week. Easter's hard in that way. Christmas is hard because it lasts from like late November, sometimes earlier in planning, depending on how complicated your season is, all the way through the month of December, because you're doing special music on Sundays, you're doing special events that lead into it, you're doing all these special offerings if you're a Southern Baptist church. Even if you're not, you're doing like all the Christmas box packing and things. And then after that, you're like incorporating people that have come into your church for the first time, because Christmas is the time people are checking churches out. Easter is not. They want to be in a church by Easter. They want to find their church during Christmas season. So you're incorporating a whole bunch of new people. You're getting them on board, answering their questions and stuff afterwards. So I think it's like until mid-January, it doesn't really like slow back down a little bit. And it's just crazy.
It's also because, like I was mentioning, this is also the time of year where you're doing new budgets, new committees. So not only are you figuring out that stuff in December and voting on it, you're also getting new people acclimated to their new committees and stuff like that in the beginning of the year, which, granted, we as lead pastors and Colin as whatever your job is now, we don't really have a hand in that because we're not chairs on all the committees. We're ex officio on all of them if your bylaws are like mine. But we kind of just try to make sure everyone's doing okay and serving well. So I do love it, though, because December is my favorite time of the year because December 1st is my birthday and December 25th is Christmas. And I love both those days. So actually, and December 3rd is my gotcha day, which means for those of you who don't know, I'm adopted. December 3rd is the day my parents got through. I think they took me home on the 4th, but I became theirs illegally on the 3rd. I don't know how that works, but I just don't argue with it.
Do you get presents on that day?
No, I've argued that I should. You know, in the same way that I'm adopted by the Lord and he gives me every spiritual blessing in Christ, my parents who adopted me should not only honor my birth, but also honor that I am theirs. So, but
became theirs.
Alas, it has not worked
yet. Keep trying.
32 years in, I don't think it's going to happen.
So you just get yourself something. Just buy yourself
something. Yeah, and no, actually, no, I don't. And what I do on December 3rd, though, if I'm around a bunch of people, is make a ton of adoption jokes, which I got to tell you all the story. So over Thanksgiving week, I got to go to Oklahoma and visit family and see Daniel at a coffee shop, which was great, and then preached at my mentor, one of my mentor's churches, Blake Gideon at FBC Edmond. He let me fill his pulpit, which was an honor of mine. I was a member there from 2012 to 2016 in college. And afterwards, we went to his house for lunch. I also saw Colin because he came and heard me preach. So there you go. But while we were at Blake's house, his daughter, who I've known since she was 2 years old, and she's now married and they're expecting their first child, I made an adoption joke at some point at the table. She looks me dead in my eyes and says, "Ha, your parents didn't love you." And I'm like, oh so God. Proud of her because that's what I'm looking for when I make these jokes. I'm either trying to cause you to go, "Oh no," and like feel somewhat bad and not know to respond, or I want that. I invite those jokes. So, but that was a rabbit trail that has nothing to do with Christmas. So back to Christmas. So back Colin, since I know you're working at Midwestern now, what does Christmas season look like at the Academy? What's it look like for you guys?
Well, it really is like, it's slower. Cause I mean, we're all involved in our churches. A lot of guys are pastoring, preaching. So there's a kind of a lull institutionally in some ways, cause students have gone home. We're spooling up for like winter intensives and there's conferences that we're at and things like that. So really it's probably similar to you guys in a lot of ways because we're doing a lot of local church stuff. So you're not too exciting, unfortunately, for us. But on the church side, it's a lot of fun.
Well, Colin, one thing you don't have to do this year. And this is the first time in 5 years you haven't had to do this, but Daniel, I still do. Let's talk about preaching Christmas series.
I love it.
So I'm of the opinion and the persuasion that it is okay and should be enjoyable to do a Christmas season series every year. This year, though, I'm not doing one, only because the Lord led me in a different direction, but it actually related in a strange way, where we're doing a series called Abide, How Do You Enjoy the Life You Have in Jesus, which fits into Christmas, like because Jesus came, he calls you to enjoy life in him. So you abide in him, redeem the time you have, and then I'll do a one-off Christmas sermon this Sunday. But Daniel, what are you preaching for Christmas? And then let's talk about what's been your favorite Christmas series that you've preached.
Good question. So right now, I'll be honest, what I'm doing right now is probably the favorite one I've done, which isn't necessarily a Christmas-themed one. So I've been here at Faith Baptist Church. It's my fourth Christmas here. And so the last 3 years, I've done a Christmas series in some shape or form, like the Songs of Christmas or like the idea of come let us adore him and different people meeting Jesus throughout the Gospels. But this year, I really didn't want to do like early Gospels, like birth narrative kind of stuff. So I was at the Oklahoma Baptist annual meeting back in November, and Danny Aiken preached on the Great Commission. And he asked a question, how many people in your church do you think could quote you the Great Commission? And then he said, how many people in your church you think could even find the Great Commission? And I was really optimistic, but the more he talked, the more I realized there's probably way fewer people in my church that could identify the Great Commission than I would like to admit. And so I really felt the Lord leading me to try to remedy that. And so on the first Sunday of Advent, November 30th, started a series called My Great Commission that's just on the Great Commission and trying to personalize it and understand it's not just this objective thing where Jesus just puts it out there, but he's giving it to his believers. And so I've broken it up into all authority on every other has been given to me. Last week was go and make disciples. This week was baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. This next Sunday will be teach them to obey all that I've commanded you. And then Christmas Eve, the 5 o'clock service we have is going to be I'm with you to the end of the age. And so it worked out really well to do this kind of focus on these different aspects. So I got to preach yesterday on the importance of what it means to be baptized. And it worked out really well, just to be honest, because we had our children's special. And so we had a lot of grandparents and family members, like even some of my own family that was there that are professing Christians, but probably a lot of people that maybe have been baptized before, but haven't continued their walk with Christ. So it was really a call to back to obedience. And I've really enjoyed it. And I'm looking forward to this Sunday, teach them to obey. And then the Christmas Eve, I'm with you always to the end of the age fits because Christ is born and makes that promise as he leaves, I'm still with you. So it's been great. I've loved it.
I feel like in a weird way saying your favorite Christmas series has been your non-Christmas series Christmas series is equivalent to somebody who says my favorite Christmas movie is Die Hard.
It's Die Hard.
Which I do believe Die Hard is a Christmas movie, but that just seems like what's your favorite Christmas movie? You know, you're expecting Muppets Christmas Carol, Home Alone, something like that. Die Hard. It's like, what's your Christmas series? The non-Christmas Great one I'm commission. Doing right now. How about you, Colin? What's been
works,
your...
Hang on, real quick. Okay. I was going to say, it works so well because our emphasis, as Southern Baptists, as Colin mentioned, is the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And so we're talking a lot about it. We had a really special day yesterday that we had a family that is currently serving on the other side of the world, like through the International Mission Board. They were here and they got to share a little bit about like what life looks like for them. And it was so good for our church to see whenever you give the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, you're not just giving it to like just anybody, but it's a woman who grew up in our church. And so it was really good to put like a face with the name. And then at the end of December on the 28th, we have Dr. Jimmy Bledsoe, who is the IMB pipeline guy at Southern Seminary. His brother goes to my church here this last few months. And so he's going to be in the area. And so he's going to come preach. And so wrapping up all this with him.
I met him at the Kentucky Baptist Convention annual meeting. Yeah.
So I met him when I went to Louisville a few months ago.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Yeah.
I'm really excited for it. So yeah, it's great. I love it.
It's also my favorite Christmas movie is Die Hard. I agree with. And I'm not bad mouthing it. I'm just saying that's how it's hit me right now. But Colin, what's been your favorite Christmas series you preached?
Yeah, I'm trying to like pick. It's like picking one of your favorite kids. Like I love preaching at Christmas. I think the one that was most fun for me was I set up my calendar to begin preaching through the book of Luke, and I started it at Christmas. So you preach through the birth narratives and you just keep going. And it was probably the most natural series because you just get to keep going and you don't have to break and say, all right, now we're jumping back into something else. And I loved it. So I think I called it Witnesses to the Incarnation because he's acting like a reporter. He wants them to know and have confidence about the things they've been taught. And so I just highlighted the different people Jesus runs into. And it was perfect because it kept going through the Christmas season. Because after Christmas, he runs into people at the temple and then runs into more people at the temple again. And I just thought it was so much fun.
I didn't know you preached Luke at Calvary. So that was news to me.
Yep. Preached through Calvary. I think it might have been the first thing I did. So you were you were just coming into the state like towards the end of it.
Okay. That's fair. See, it's funny you mentioned that because my favorite is actually when I preached Luke at Gilead.
You can't take my answer. You can't just jump
in. Dude, I'm sorry. It's the Gospel of Luke. Look, I can say that's what, I mean, my favorite Christmas sermon to preach is actually not in a series. It's just in Revelation 12. So I'm preaching.
See, you're stealing that from me too. No, actually, I stole that one from you.
Yeah. What do you, I'm calling it this Sunday, Unveiling Christmas.
No, that's good.
See, I have my moments. And, but yeah, so, okay. So two of us love preaching through Luke. Daniel doesn't love Christmas, he didn't preach a Christmas series. So
that's right.
That about sounds
I will say I have done, Daniel, what you did before where I'm like, hey, we're just kind of going through and doing it. And it was fine too. I think sometimes people need a break as much as the pastors need a break of like, you know, hey, he's doing the thing again where he's got a Christmas series. And so, I mean, I have a conviction, I may be wrong, that it's okay. Like if you're kind of like burnt out on like a typical Christmas series, or you don't want to do like a more than a carpenter, more apologetic like evangelistic series, then that's okay. Just like if you, Blake's doing one that's really good right now where he's looking at all those Christ passages that are really, you know, profound and deep, and they bring out the richness of the incarnation. So I think you can kind of do it a different way like that too.
You see, I think what Blake's doing right now, I was actually going to bring that up because he's going verse by verse through Colossians, but he's still in Colossians, like you said, Colin, but he's redoing some passages from more of a theological perspective where he's like contrasting the Christ hymn with Matthew 1:18 through 24, or he's contrasting these passages to show, I think the line he's used the most is, the little hand that held the finger of his mother is the same hand that holds all of creation together. So that's been neat. I'm a little mad he came up with it, because now if I want to preach it, I got to give him credit.
Yeah.
But there should be no new Christmas series at this point.
Yeah. I also think that it's fun to like lean into those different traditions that your church has. Mm-hmm. I'd be curious to know what you guys do. I know Dr. York at Buck Run, they would do the walk to the manger every year. Yep. We had stuff that we did.
So I stole this idea from Justin Sampler in my home church, but we do a Lottie Moon Christmas auction. We were actually going to do it last night. This is a Monday we're recording, but we have snow here. And so we only had 90 people show up to church yesterday. So we decided to move Lottie Moon to next week or to this coming Sunday. But what we'll do is we'll have some soups and some salad, soups and sandwiches, and we'll have items that are laid out with a piece of paper, starting bid here. People will go through and have a certain time limit to go through and do everything. And once we're done, we'll kind of announce who gets what. And last year, our goal was $10,000 for Lottie Moon, and we raised about $12,000. So this year, our goal is $20,000. And we've already got a couple thousand donated, but we'll see how the auction goes. I think this year, we've got a few more big ticket items, but also I think people are auctioning off some services. Like I know one couple in our church does photography, so they're auctioning off a photography session. So that's our biggest tradition. We've also got we have a parade that happens in the community. In the past 2 years I've been here, I've had somebody try to do a float both times. I think it's a good idea, but there's not a whole lot of support for it, so we can't get the right volunteers. And then we do a backpack ministry this time of year where kids come in. They come hear the Christmas story, but they also get some hygienic products, backpacks filled with gifts, and we do Angel Tree and Operation Christmas Child. So we've got a lot we're doing this time of year, and we'll do a Sunday night or we'll do a Christmas Eve service, which is something I'm excited about. I love two of my favorite services every year, are always Christmas Eve and Good Friday. But those are mine. Daniel, you got any traditions?
Yeah, I mean just as you're talking, you started to list a lot of things that churches do for traditions. And I think that's one of the things as a pastor, so I'm going to change this gears for just a minute. I guess one of the things as a pastor, like you talk about the busyness of Christmas, is that it's normal ministry with a bunch of other traditions. And that's what, if I'm really honest, like wears me out. Like this last Sunday was fantastic. Our kids did a kids special. We had some volunteers that over like the last 3 months I've been working with them. And so we're getting ready for this kid special, and that like, it's going to be basically just take up the music portion of our service. And then I'm going to preach. But then on top of that, we have like the Advent reading. So it's like, okay, we got to put that in the service somewhere. okay, we also have this missionary family. They're going to be here. So we got to put that in the service somewhere. And the sermon's going to be here. And so you're adding in a bunch of this stuff that are very traditional and very good. But for me personally, it's just like, there's so many things we have to make sure we get to because they're tradition or special. And it can get to the point where it's like, I just want to come to church and worship. Like, I don't want to have to worry about all this stuff, but it's good stuff. Like, saying that at the same time. Some of the traditions that we've done, like we've done the Operation Shoebox for several years, but we got away from that this year just because it was another one of those things that we had a lot of people that, I say a lot of people, we had several people that wanted to do it and several people that felt like they had to do it. And it became like a burden. So like, all right, we're just going to step back from that. We're going to figure out how we can minister like to our community some more. And so we've gotten involved with that. Colin, you mentioned the walk to the manger, like that Buck Run does. That's something a couple years ago that my wife saw and she was like, hey, we should do this. I looked into it and I was like, yeah, that's fantastic. So we did that last year. We'll do that again this year, this next Sunday. And it's basically just an invitation, specifically on one Sunday to give your Lottie Moon, to give a Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And I challenged our church this year and last year to whatever you give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, make that the largest gift you give towards anybody this year. So if you're going to spend $100 on your kid, on one kid, then give more than that to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And so it was really cool to be able to see last year how we didn't set a goal and yet we had the most we'd ever given. And so I'm excited to see this year what the church does. We've already collected some here and there, but next Sunday will be that big emphasis on giving to that offering. So that's the biggest tradition, I think, for me that I enjoy. And then, like you said, the Christmas Eve service is always really special. We do Lord's Supper at that, candlelight. I read a Christmas story to kids. I can invite them up front and read them a story. So it's a lot of fun. I love that service.
Yeah, I love this time of year. I mean, again, it's kind of almost just kind of like going through the motions at some points because you're at this point, you know, the traditions, you know what you need to do. It's fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it's harmless. Yeah. It's fun. And, you know, you have an opportunity, especially with Lottie Moon, to really make an impact on gospel ministry. But I want to shift as we kind of come to the last 8 minutes of this. And I want to ask the question that every one of our 60 listeners wants to know. And the question that we will spend the next 10 minutes debating. What are your top five favorite Christmas movies? And why are they your favorite?
I want to go first because it's easy. My top movie period that I love is irrespective of Christmas or not, my favorite movie is It's a Wonderful Life. So that's number one. It's a great story. Don't make that face, Rio. Don't make that face.
I watched it for the first time last year.
You need to rewatch it.
And I've seen it one time.
I watch it every year. It's not even in my top five.
Yeah. Your taste is terrible.
Why?
Listen. Mm-hmm. Listen, movie taste is not something that I go to Rio Taylor for. I go to you for so many other things.
but you have
cotton candy taste. A wonderful life.
I do not have a terrible taste. I have a refined palate.
We were talking about how much you love Godzilla before we started this.
Yeah, I'm not going to say what movie you made me go watch before you moved out of the state, but it proves my point.
That's
It's a Wonderful Life is a great, great movie with a great, great contrast between him and the banker. You want to be a George Bailey, you know, be rich in friends and relationships. Life's about relationships. It's not about possessions. It's a great message at the Christmas season. So if you're disenchanted by Christmas and the commercialism, like go watch that movie. The second movie is,
hold on real quick. Genuine question about this. Is it better to watch A Wonderful Life in the original black and white or to watch the colored version?
Yeah, don't watch the color. Are you kidding? You got to watch it in black and white.
I agree with you.
It's noir. Also, it had a tremendous effect on Jimmy Stewart, who was coming out of World War II and 30-something missions as a captain and pilot of a bomber over Europe, was kind of shell-shocked, experiencing PTSD. And at different points in the filming, you see it. He's on screen sweating physically under stress because of the things that he's just experienced. And it had a the movie kind of had a healing effect on him. And so he's experiencing a personal crisis as he plays someone experiencing a personal crisis and comes out of that filming kind of personally, not kind of, truly benefiting from it and kind of healed by it. So it's meaningful on a different level there. The second movie is Die Hard. Just so good. Ho, ho, ho. Now I have a machine gun. Someone buy me that sweater. I will wear that sweater. I want it. I actually watched it last week by myself because I can't watch it with my kids. Third is a tie. It's like 3 and 4. I love Frosty. And I love the, what's the Santa coming to town? It's like the little... people. It's not claymation.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Santa Claus is coming to town. I love that one. Yep. With like Jack Frost. Like that one's just a classic. And the Grinch is number 5, but it's so funny. Just,
which one? The Jim Carrey or the Benedict Grinch. Cumberbatch?
Jim Carrey. Yeah. That's I don't even know that there's a Benedict Cumberbatch one because it doesn't exist. It's not
was
real.
Is that the cartoon one?
Yeah.
It came out a few years ago. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Daniel, you're up. You're top 5.
I'll be honest, I don't know if I have 5. But my number one is Claws. Have you seen Claws?
Yeah.
I love it. It's so good. I've probably watched it 6 or 7 times this
year. Remind me of that one.
It's the postman. He gets stationed up in Smearensburg, and he has to send 6,000 letters where he gets cut off from his father. And it's like the origins of Christmas.
I don't remember this one. Yeah.
Oh, it came out like in 2019, and it is by far. I don't even know if there's anybody like really famous in it. It's a cartoon. You need to go watch it.
Yeah, it's actually tonight. It's worth watching.
I'm looking it up.
Jonathan, your son will love it. The mention of it. Your son will love it.
Oh, okay. It's a Netflix movie.
Yeah. Okay. I love it. Like I said, I watch it multiple times per year.
Okay.
I also love The Grinch, the Jim Carrey one. I've already watched it at least 2 or 3 times this year. It's like we just put Christmas movies on the background at home. Mm-hmm. So they're always there. I love the Polar Express. I don't know why. Like, it's just a comfort movie for me.
That movie
I love
is
the book.
Fuel.
It very much is.
I was watching it. Uncanny Valley.
I was watching it more closely this year, and I was like, this is kind of creepy.
It's so
but
creepy.
It's,
oh, my God.
It's just fun. And then I love the Santa Claus.
That one's good.
Like, I'll watch that one on Christmas Eve and probably Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Like, those are my 4 go-to. I haven't really found any others that...
Just say Die Hard or Roundabout.
No, Miracle on 34th Street. Have you watched that?
I think I watched it one time.
Oh, man, so good.
See, a lot of the classics I haven't watched. I did watch Christmas Vacation yesterday. Mm,
that's not the understood standard, like, you have to watch that during the season.
It was Sunday afternoon. I had, like, 2 hours to kill, so I just turned it on. It was Saturday. It was Saturday afternoon. My wife and kids were out doing something. I wasn't feeling well. So I turned it on and watched it and took a nap and then woke up and watched the end of it.
Oh, story about that. My father-in-law, that's his favorite. He has the little elk, the moose mug.
Does he really?
And he has the thing that, like, it's got the candles and it spins. And, like, at one point, Uncle Eddie breaks or whatever.
Eddie.
Awesome. Yeah. One of my favorite lines.
Hang on. I'm going to throw one more because I have to. A Christmas Story.
Oh, that was good.
Classic.
I watched that with my son and my oldest daughter the other night, and they were laughing way too hard.
Did you watch the sequel? Happy.
No, I haven't seen it.
It came out a couple of years ago. It's actually pretty good.
Right.
Like, is it? Not, okay. It's not the same level, but it's still enjoyable. I thought it was funny.
It's good. Okay. Those are mine. What do you got, Rio?
So I feel like I'm the only one who has taste here, because the greatest Christmas movie, objectively, is A Muppet's Christmas Carol.
I haven't seen it.
Like, here's the thing. It's number one. It's the one of those well-known Christmas stories. You know, Ebenezer Scrooge and goes to Christmas past, present, and future, come visit him. But Michael Caine is the best Scrooge. And I saw someone put this. It's because he treats the Muppets like fellow actors. And I'll be honest, the Muppets make me laugh. And I watch that movie. I laugh every time I watch it. I have joy in my heart when I'm finished with it. And Jonathan loves it. In fact, he calls it Dad Does Christmas Movie. And I'm like, you are 100% right, son. Go watch that movie and then tell me that it's not just one of, if not the best Christmas movie. It's so stinking good. Now, granted.
I'm writing these down to go watch them.
Colin, are you judging me right now for this being number one?
Yeah. Yeah, of course I am. Like, there's other adaptations of that are legitimately good. Like, you like it because there's, like, one good actor. There are others that have, like, an entire cast.
I'm sorry. Those Muppets worked hard, and those are great actors. Look, here's the thing. Objectively, it's not the best Christmas movie, but it is my personal favorite and my number one.
I love that you love it. I love it for you.
Because it makes me laugh. Yeah. I mean, that movie just brings so much joy, and it's hysterical. Like, one of my favorite scenes is when Sam the Eagle is talking to a young Ebenezer Scrooge, and he says, "You must try hard, young man. It's the American way." And, like, the director whispers something in his ear. He goes, "Huh, it's the British way." Like, dude, that's one of my favorite scenes in any movie. It's just hysterical. I'm a sucker. I'm a sucker for the Muppets. Number two, I'd say Die Hard is my second favorite. It had the top spot, but I can't watch Die Hard with my kids, so it can't be one for me. It has to be Muppets Christmas Carol. And also probably is my favorite. Muppets just my favorite because Jonathan loves it so much. That's probably a reason why. And I can watch it with him and I can enjoy it and he'll enjoy it. Number three is How the Grinch Stole Christmas, 100%. Jim Carrey version, because that's the definitive version. The animated one was unnecessary. Number four, I would say Elf. I'm kind of surprised no one brought up Elf.
Yeah.
Here.
I'm not big on Elf.
Yeah. Really?
I've seen it too many times.
I get that. Sure. I get that. But I think Elf is good. I would say five, and I'm probably missing one right now, and Renee's going to point it out to me later that I didn't say this one. But I would say number five for me is either National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, or I jokingly say it's not my top five. It's a Wonderful Life might be coming at a five. Like, it is a good movie. Like, it's a great movie. I hated it the first time I watched it. Yeah. Hated it.
Yeah.
But then I watched it again after Jonathan was born, and that just kind of changed my perspective on it a little bit. I don't know why, but it did, and I really appreciated it. It's not my favorite one, but it's pretty good. And, you know, it's a touching story, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's not my personal favorite.
Good stuff.
But honorable mention has to be The Santa Claus with Tim Allen.
So good.
It's so good.
He's got that quote in there where his wife's like, "Are you guys going to be, okay?" He's like, "Yeah, we're going to clean shotguns and drink whiskey and shoot black tar heroin. Yeah, we'll be fine. I'm his dad."
Tim Allen's just a treasure.
He is.
He's great. I love it.
His little jiggling his body the whole he's getting fat.
Your name is Scott Calvin. Tell us your name. Kris Kringle.
So good.
Oh, man. No, but I think a line I say way too much from National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation is, "That's the gift that keeps on giving, Clark."
Jam of the Month Club.
Of the Month Club. Oh, man, that rant he does after getting that makes me laugh.
Oh, I love it.
It's good. Every time, like, I start up a chainsaw, if there's someone around that I know has watched that movie, it's just like,
I don't strike know, Margo.
Yeah, that's all we can quote. That's the whole movie that we
that's
can
the extent.
We don't know any other quotes.
No, we do not. We can totally not quote any other part of that movie. Oh, another honorable mention. Because
we're
Alone.
Christians.
Honorable mention, though. Home Alone. No one mentioned that
Home Alone is good.
It's just Die Hard for kids.
Yeah. And go watch the YouTube video that's like, what would happen to the guys breaking in, Harry and whatever.
Well, didn't sound like they would have died. A few,
like several things would have killed them.
Yeah. A few minutes.
Renee, every time we watch that movie, loses it and laughs whenever the spider gets put on. Is it Marv? Is that the tall one?
Yeah.
The spider gets put on his face and he lets out that scream. Like, every time she will just like laugh incredibly hard. And
that was my introduction to Joe Pesci.
Was it really?
Which is wild.
And you like go see mine his other work and you're like, they cast you in a children's role?
So I watched Home Alone as a teenager. I didn't watch as a kid. I don't know why. So my first introduction to him was Casino.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
So that was a bit of a shock for me watching him at just Home Alone.
The opposite.
Oh man. How old were you?
I think 14, 15 at that time.
That's too early. That's too early.
There you go.
Oh no.
I will say I did not, jeez. I saw it at a friend's house. It was not at my parents' house.
There you go.
That's right.
So, all right. Well, guys, it's been fun. We probably won't record another episode before the new year. So we'll meet again. Sorry again for the unintentional break. For those of you who are listening, it just got really busy. I know, Colin, you had a lot going on these past few weeks.
Yeah, we've been busy, but our house sold. Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Oh, did it really? Praise the Lord.
Yep. Amen.
Good. Yeah.
So I bought a house, and you know, one thing about home ownership that no one talks about is the never-ending pit of despair in your gut once you're responsible for everything in that house.
Yeah,
it's like, huh? I don't enjoy this feeling.
Have you put up Christmas lights?
Nope.
Have fun.
So we we haven't had we've had a rental house for the past few years, or we had a church that was a parsonage. We haven't really bought Christmas lights, and because we just bought the house, we are also not buying any this year. So we are adjusting to life with a mortgage.
Yep.
So, understandable.
But it's all good. But hey, let us know what you want to talk about next year. Send us an email. Daniel, what's the email address again?
TheRookiesCast@gmail.com.
Let us know what you want us to talk about, what you want our expert opinions on. Hopefully we'll have some more interviews for you next year, and hopefully Colin won't be too busy to hop on here on time with us moving forward.
Maybe we'll have a mailbag episode. You never know.
We should have another one of those. I'm sure our dozens of listeners would have a question for us.
We're going to have three questions.
From the same guy. It's just one listener.
Same guy. I will say, I did get a lot of feedback that our Skynet episode was hilarious, so maybe we should talk about that again. But
just Colin, one conspiracy theory episode, right?
We should do that. Like, what are some conspiracy theories that we buy into and totally shoot away all of our goodwill that we've had?
All of our credibility. Gone.
Shot. Yeah, gone. Not a thing anymore.
Guys, you have credibility?
That's true.
I hate that I know what movie that's from. Dadgummit. All right, on that note, good talking to you all. Good seeing you again. And guys, we'll see you in the next episode. See you later.
See ya.
Bye, everybody.